everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. Tom, I can live with temperatures 10 degrees above normal. When it's in the upper 80s, no problem.
Yeah, right around 90, yeah. And that's what it's going to be, according to the National Weather Service,
day after day.
The middle of next week.
And then what are you saying, what's in the middle of next week?
The same.
Oh, okay.
Except maybe no breezes.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know about that for sure. We're supposed to have some breezes this afternoon, tomorrow, and Saturday, and then we don't know.
Missing element, of course, is rain, but we talked a lot about that
rain?
On yesterday's
What's that?
Show. So we're not going to get into that today. It's Buckmaster on this Thursday. It's April the 8th, 2021. We're in our 11th year already here on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Our radio station call letters are KVOI, The Voice. It's 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com, where we also have an extensive archive, 10 years plus of programs now have been archived over at buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. With me in studio, Pima County Supervisor Steve Christie, Republican representing District Number 4. Mr. Christie, how are you?
I'm terrific. Thanks for having me again.
A lot of people still, when they hear Steve Christie, and I think this happens to you almost every day, they're saying, do you still have the dealership?
Yeah, I do. Matter of fact, people know me more for the dealership.
No, they do.
That's true. They know me more or recognize me more for the dealership than being county supervisor. And I sold that dealership in 2007.
I know. And the same thing happens to me with the TV. People still think of me associated with Arizona Illustrated and Channel 6 after 22 years here at Channel 6. And then starting with the radio in 2010. So it's a slow education process.
But it's nice to be remembered.
It is. Yeah. It is nice to be remembered and hopefully very fondly. A month ago you were with us. We just had the news of Ann Kirkpatrick, the congresswoman, saying, this will be her final term. Your name keeps popping up. Do you want to say right now you are not a candidate for Congress?
I am not a candidate for Congress. However, I'm strongly considering a third term as supervisor.
Yes, you were just recently elected to a second four-year term, but I know you do very much enjoy the job.
And I don't know if I've told you this, but I love being supervisor.
We have heard it before, for sure, and I'm sure we will hear it again. What about the vaccination? Have you decided to get the shot?
Absolutely, and I encourage everybody to do it. I'm waiting for a couple of reasons. One, I just want to make sure that those who are most vulnerable and should be rightfully ahead of me get the opportunity to get their vaccine. And secondly, on a selfish note, I'm waiting for it to become a bit more convenient, mm-hmm. where I can go to my doctor's office or a Walgreens or CVC or something without having to get on a computer and reserve stuff. My schedule fluctuates from minute to minute, and it makes it exceedingly difficult to commit to some sort of a schedule like that. But absolutely, I encourage everyone to get it. Vaccine. I've got the flu shot, pneumonia shot, the shingles shot. I think just about every shot available, and I certainly am going to get the COVID shot.
And the rollout is going pretty darn well, isn't it?
Apparently it is. Yeah. Yes, it seems from the numbers we're seeing that there is a great deal of folks that are getting the COVID shot, and let's hope it keeps in that direction.
Well, this confusion now with business owners not knowing what to do after the governor said you don't need to wear a mask. The businesses I go to, Steve Christie, I don't see any change in people wearing masks, and the owners are confused. And I think they're erring on the side of, well, it's a local ordinance, so I don't really want to rock the boat here.
Well, I'm very disappointed in our governor. I think he was given the opportunity to clear up this confusion. He was actually, even though the attorney general gave a rather casual, cavalier type of an opinion, the attorney general did provide on a silver platter a pathway to the governor on how he can rectify this and remove the mask mandate. Now, on the Board of Supervisors, two times I have made the motion to remove the mask mandate. The Board of Supervisors has the authority to remove the mask mandate. Two times I've tried to do that. Both times they failed by lack of second. So the one time I could really use the governor's help in this matter, he doesn't seem to have any interest in clearing up or removing it. And he said it's political theater. I'm saying, you explain what political theater is to these businesses that are struggling, having altercations and confrontations with their employees and their customers and neighbor to neighbor. This is a mess that really needs to go away. All of the indications, all of the data are showing without a doubt that transmissions and infections are dropping. Hospital beds and medical resources are very much available. People, as we pointed out just a moment ago, are getting vaccinated. This mandate for wearing masks has caused nothing but problems. And I'm sorry, but the science is not firm on this, no matter who says it is. But be that as it may, it's a mandate of the mask wearing that needs to go away. And the governor had the opportunity, and he did not took it. He ignored it. And it's creating the problems you're expressing right now. And it shouldn't be that way.
And the governor is really been pretty silent, has been silent on this. And it looks like he's just going to say, well, Pima County and the city can just continue to do what they want.
Well, by his actions lately, that's exactly what he's saying.
Now, we have a full-blown water war shaping up here in Pima County. As a resident of the lower foothills, I'm a resident of District 1. I'm telling you, Supervisor, there's a lot of concern among my neighbors that they are going to be facing. They don't really know what they're going to be facing when it comes to, I mean, in the summertime, what are we going to be hit with, 30, 40% increase in a water bill?
That's a very strong possibility. And Bill, there's about three or four different layers in this matter that really have not been discussed fully, and they should be. And one of the most insidious, I think, is the fact that this is an overt attempt to coerce and to virtually blackmail unincorporated residents to be annexed by the city of Tucson. So what the city of Tucson is saying is, you don't like our raising you the water rates that we're going to from 10 to 20 to 30%. You don't like it? Well, here's the answer to that. Just let us annex you. That is pure coercion and blackmail in my mind. Second of all, it's designed also to prevent growth, to prevent development, and to be used as some sort of a stumbling block or roadblock to prevent any kind of economic development in Pima County. And third, and also just as of involvement here, is it's using our most valuable resource that we have, our most precious resource, as a political football. And what the city of Tucson is trying to do is to make what they observe or feel are the wealthier people, perhaps, in unincorporated Tucson, pay for the water bills of those who are not as wealthy in the city of Tucson. And that is a reprehensible way of trying to utilize a precious commodity as a political football. And if I could, I just want to share with you real quickly, there's an organization that backed what the city of Tucson is doing with these differential water rates called Our Tucson Water, and they put out a press release yesterday of basically just slobbering all over the city of Tucson, city council members, and a couple of my colleagues on the board for voting that way. And then they go on to say, special thanks to our wonderful endorsers, who are, in the first order, is the Democratic Socialists of America. And their whole reasoning for backing this is, as they say here, we couldn't have done it without you, and we look forward to continuing to work with you to pass differential rates, fight sprawl, cancel debt, lower bills for working families, and invest in climate resiliency. Now, this is a social justice type of action that they're using our most precious commodity in order to leverage with. That is wrong, and the whole process really is nefarious and insidious, and we hear these discussions that, oh, it's just a matter of trying to get more state funds to our community that we're missing out now because we don't have the population. That's a smokescreen. That's not the full story, and the full story needs to be heard.
Well, I'll tell you, this echoes back to, I've been in town 33 years, and we've had some of these areas where we say that we have to stop growth. And you're saying this is like this whole no growth thing is back with us.
Rearing its ugly head once again, and this has been an agreement between the city and the county since 1977 that the city would take care of supplying the region's water needs, and the county would continue supplying the region's sewer and reclamation water needs. Now, here's the other point that this whole issue is being prompted by the city, that's being instigated by the city, is we have a county administrator who's very experienced in these matters. And
he went to war with Marana over the wastewater
thing. And he's very willing to go to war. he and I don't see eye to eye on many things, but I do know after being on the board for going on 6 years that he's not afraid to take up this challenge. And he has legitimate legal ways where he can fight this and retaliate this in a legal manner against the city of Tucson by saying, city of Tucson, you raise the rates of folks' water who live in the unincorporated areas, we're going to raise the sewer rates of those who live in the city of Tucson. Water wars all over again. Who's going to win? This is not good policy, and it needs to be stopped.
Before we take the break and hear from Mona's Danish Bakery, a quick question on Facebook. Why can't places get water from outside? Could Pima County do their own water, or are we dependent on the city of Tucson?
No, there are a number of areas that have their own water companies, such as Green Valley.
I think Marana
obviously has its own. So there are those areas and those communities that do have their own water, but primarily it's the city of Tucson that controls the water for everyone.
So we'd be held hostage, in effect.
It'd be held hostage, and now it's turned into blackmail.
Wow. All right, let's take a break right here and hear from my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery. And by the way, the Help Wanted sign, Steve, is out now up at Mona's. I was up there, had a lovely breakfast on Easter morning, and they said they just need some help. Bill, could you say we would love to hire some people up there? And I said, sure, I'll put the message out there. If someone's looking for an opportunity, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, not only is it a great place to work, but the people there are wonderful. And you will be serving some delicious, delicate, flaky layers of pastries. As Tom Fairbanks likes to say, the Danish Kringle is light and tasty, and it is ready to go right now at Mona's Danish Bakery, the website monasdanishbakery.com. We'll be right back with Steve Christie.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Steve Christie, Pima County Supervisor, Republican representing District Number 4, is with me in studio. We've been talking about the new water wars that are now starting up. It looks like here, kind of deja vu all over again. Let's switch gears, Supervisor Christie, and talk about roads, something we haven't really been talking much about with COVID and now the water situation. Will there be an accelerated road repair plan?
Yeah, most definitely. And I'm grateful to Supervisor Scott for bringing this whole issue of road repair back to the forefront, because as you remember, my whole force of running and my whole efforts when I first ran for supervisor were to just fix the roads. And we've had so
many. That's kind of was your slogan.
It was and still is. Yeah. And it's something that is I'm reminded of every day by my wife when I come home. But
just fix the roads.
Just fix the roads.
If I hit another pothole, I'm going to go.
So we've had a lot of distractions and diversions from the road issues. But I still maintain that when you brush all of the things that we've been dealing with, COVID, masks, proclamations, undocumented persons, all of this, when you brush those away, not completely because we have to deal with them, but the main issue and the main focus that I believe is the number one issue in Pima County is the condition of our roads and the fact that they need to be maintained, rehabilitated, and fixed as quickly and effectively as possible. So we've instituted in the last the last makeup of the board, a 5-0, if you can believe it, resolution to institute a pay-as-you-go program that allows for an accelerated funding source to fix the roads in unincorporated Pima County and bring them up to out of a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being perfect, at least an 8, and to be maintained as well. So we, at the last meeting of the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday, we moved to increase the sale of certificates of participation, which are very low interest rate bonds, 1 to 2%, that can be paid back anywhere from 5 to 15 years at a very low rate, to enhance the road repair program by some $85 million. So I'm pleased about that. I'm going to remain committed to the fact of my original campaign pledge was to fix the roads, and that's going to be in the forefront and on the front burner still as the number one issue that we need to do in Pima County sooner rather than later, and it looks like it's going to happen. I'm very proud of what we've been able to do in my district. I hear wonderful reports from my friends in Green Valley, my constituents. We've done some terrific work in there in the Vail area and the Tankaverde Valley area that haven't been touched in years as a result of this pay-as-you-go program and the new road repair plan. So I'm very pleased about that, and I am going to work very diligently that to make sure that the road repair issue of just fixing the roads does not get pushed away by the wayside.
When can this program begin?
It's already in effect. They've got most of the projects for the fiscal year out for bid. We've got very, very good bid pricing at this point. There's a lot of competition now. Things are picking up. The construction companies are aggressive. They want the business, and we're seeing from what engineers' estimates are to what construction companies actually offer is somewhere between 10 to 30% below what the engineers originally thought the cost of a repair.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great time to be building roads. It's a great time to have the pay-as-you-go. It's a great time to be using certificates of participation, and it's a great time to be fixing our roads.
I'll tell you, that area on River Road from west of River, from Swan over to the JCC, is one of the worst strips of pavement in the county right now. And I'm telling you, on the air, folks, if anybody's listening that could possibly do something about this, I was actually on my way over to the dealership for an alignment job when I hit that patch, and it's bump after bump, and it will knock your alignment out every time.
Yeah, it is bad. I know exactly
bad.
What you're talking
exactly.
about. Fortunately, it's not in my district.
No, so. It's not. But if but Rex Scott is
Rex
listening,
Scott
and
is,
I
know he's
Rex
on top
listens
of it.
To this program, and Dr. Robert Hendricks is in our green room, and he's shaking his head in agreement, because I know he is also a Foothills resident. He said he just gave me the signal that is the worst pavement over there. So if there's anything that can be done. What are you hearing from your friends in the business community about this COVID year has just been devastating? You drive through any of these strip malls that we have around town. How many vacant businesses do you see now?
It's devastating, and I've been very much involved with the small businesses in our community, particularly the restaurant industry. I've worked very closely with a number of organizations, and the numbers that you hear about restaurants in particular that will not be returning, it's not only saddening, but it's frightening. And as a former business owner, I know so well it brings back so many of those horrific feelings of when you at Thursday night at 5 o'clock when you go home, you know that payroll's due at 8 a.m. the next
Friday morning.
And there's no money in the bank. And I also know exactly what my tiling looks like in my hallway because I've been up and down that hallway between 2 and 5 a.m. many, many a nights, many, many early mornings worrying about my business. And these folks are not big chain operations. They're mom-and-pop stores, several generations owned sometimes, entrepreneurs wanting to live the American dream. They put their life investment in it, and they just see it dissipate with these proclamations that have done nothing but create confusion and inhibited their ability to do what they do best, and that is to run their company. And things should be of a voluntary nature, Bill. If companies want their employees and customers to wear masks, that should be their choice. But it also should be the choice if they don't want to. And I think freedom of choice is the most important element in our society, and we've got to return to that.
Let's see if we can work caller Jim into the program. Jim, are you with us? You're with Steve Christie.
Yes, I am. And I had a question on the road repair and the HERF money that we get every year. It seems to me that would be adequate to cover stuff. Or are they using it for something else? I just don't understand that.
Okay, Jim, let's hear what Supervisor Christie says. Is the HERF money going to something else?
The HERF money is going to be implemented in the pay-as-you-go plan as a supplement. And true that he makes a good point. There are elements of that HERF formula that do not go directly to the road repair. They go to other areas. Many counties do it, and one of the things that I'm hoping that the legislature will do is to do deep HERF reform. The formula is so convoluted. It's so difficult to try to trace. It's unfair in so many ways based on population and where the gas pumps are. And yes, there is a very large stream of HERF money that comes into the county. Much of it is now being transferred over to the pay-as-you-go program as a result of the savings in the Department of Transportation. But certainly the HERF money is also dissipating because people are driving less. They have electric cars. So in anticipation of this continual decline in HERF revenues, which I'm certain we're going to be seeing over the next few years, the pay-as-you-go is kind of stepped in to take that shortage up. But yeah, that HERF money needs to be analyzed to make sure it gets to where it's intended to go.
Highway user funds, those have not been readdressed in years.
No, and if you try to navigate the formula, your eyes will glass over because it's, I think, on purpose that it's so convoluted.
All right, Steve Christie, good to see you, and stay well, and we'll see you in a month or so. Thanks.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition with you. Tomorrow, by the way, the Friday Focus interview, Fletcher McCusker. We haven't caught up with Fletcher in a long time, and we'll talk to him about downtown Tucson. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. Be right back. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehops.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. My name is Bill Buckmaster, and we are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, this is the time of year that you want to get over there and do your spring planting. And when you're there, you'll have questions. And, you know, nothing is better when you go to a service provider where you have a knowledgeable sales associate. So if I go to Green Things and I say, I want some beautiful color in the garden, and I want to make sure, well, the chances, you can't probably have any guarantee that something is going to for sure live through the upcoming summer and very dry conditions, but they can really steer you in the right directions at Green Things. 13 acres of amazing plants, 3384 East River Road. The website's greenthingsaz.com. I also took a look yesterday at zocalovillage.com, their website, when Zocalo Village is on site over there at Green Things. You want to see some beautiful, like, hand-carved mesquite dining room tables and chairs. They've got some beautiful items over there, so you can look at it on the website and then go visit at Green Things. They're open daily, 3384 East River Road. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. I am so delighted to welcome back to our studios. We've been doing telephonic interviews with Dr. Hendricks, our contributor on education. We've been doing telephonic for well over a year, and he is now back with us in studio. He's fully vaccinated, as am I, and so we welcome him back. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
Fine. It's good to be back here, Bill.
It's good to see you. Eye to eye, as they say. Dr. Hendricks is the Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. Wow, you talk about an impressive resume that this gentleman has. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. He was named Arizona's top school superintendent at one time. And he's also his civic charity group that he works with. He's on the board, or you're still on the board, right?
I am.
With Interfaith Services. And during the height of the COVID, you and your colleagues over there were dishing out a tremendous amount of food. Have things lessened up, or what's the situation?
Well, there's a steady line every day. I was there yesterday, Bill, and it's just we're doing drive-by, and we load the trunks of food of our folks, depending on the size of the family, and it's just bumper to bumper.
Where are you located?
We're located on the northwest side. We actually have six other locations, but the major one is on Shannon and Orange Grove.
And the cars line up?
They line up, and people open their trunks, and depending on the size of the family, we load their trunks and they drive away.
Wow.
Yeah.
No questions asked?
No. Well, they have to qualify.
Oh, okay.
There has to be an eligibility.
All right. Let's talk now about education. We've been talking to you month after month through the COVID about how this is an anomalous year, a lost year, some might say. And we're not just talking about, it kind of is like it overlaps with the previous school year. So we were talking about the school year of 2019-2020, because when COVID hit, it was about the spring starting up of the school year. So there were problems then, and then this school year.
It gets very, very complicated.
Yes.
And, you know, I think when we look back at that spring, you know, a lot of people were undecided, were very anxious, very unsure about what they were going to do with their children. And when schools decided, based on the CDC recommendations, that they would be closing down, parents who, you know, in many cases, two members of a family working, had to make some decisions. And they looked at alternatives. I think one of the alternatives they looked at were charter schools. And I think, and I can't generalize this about all charter schools, but some of them interpreted the CDC requirements much more loosely, let's say. And because of that, I think there were more opportunities for parents to keep their kids in school for the five-day week traditional education. So we saw a large number of students leave the public school system and move over to charters. And what's really interesting is that if you look at the statistics, about 30% of that enrollment drop were preschool and kindergarten.
Wow.
And so it suggests, that number suggests that not only were parents making the decision to send their children elsewhere, there are also a lot of parents making the decision not to send their children to school at all.
And up in Gilbert, I believe they've had a real crisis. We had Dr. Trujillo, the head of TUSD, with us a couple of weeks ago. As I recall, he was saying they have lost more students than any Gilbert school district, than any other district in the state of Arizona, and they've had to lay off a bunch of teachers.
They have, and this is, you know, this is a district that, you know, is really a lighthouse district in the state. Very strong educational program, growing rapidly in the Gilbert Chandler area, and you know, it's really hit them very, very hard, as it's hit, you know, the nine school districts in Pima County. They've seen major enrollment drops, and most of that drop is at the elementary level, because I think if you look at the middle school, the secondary level, most of those students, you know, have been able to cope with a remote learning situation. But, you know, those students, kindergarten through, I'd say, fifth or sixth grade.
Yeah, on the computer all day, put a kindergartner on a computer.
Well, these are, you know, these are the formative years of a child's education. This is where they learn the competencies of reading and math, as well as social skills. And to take students out of that environment and to maybe put them in a place where they're not as comfortable, they're not with their friends, or maybe just staying at home and not having that home support that's really necessary, has just caused innumerable problems.
Tucson Unified has actually come out pretty good on this. Financially, they're going to get some infusion of federal dollars.
They're going to get a lot of money.
They're going to get a lot of money.
In fact, the amount of money that I think they're going to get is approximately $1,500 a student.
Wow.
And that's not really, we haven't gone to the third level of compensation yet. This plan, but it's approximately 1,500, and then when you contrast that to a, say, district like Vail, who's going to get about $150. Now there's a reason for that. I mean, it's based on federal formulas. They use the reduced lunch count formula, so it's based on the economic condition of a family. Or they qualify for that. So we call it the free lunch formula, the reduced or free lunch. So if a district population has a large number of those students, they're going to get more money.
It's an some would say inequity in funding then.
Well,
of these
I
districts.
Think it is inequity.
Yeah.
I think because I think the assumption is that students who are more economically advantaged, and this includes what I would call the middle income or the middle class student, are not going to have those advantages. And yet, they're still going to experience learning deficits. I mean, in fact, the Brookings Institute has calculated that a student could have lost a year to maybe a year and a half of learning, you know, during a calendar year. Plus, you add that to the other deficits that may already exist. You could have a student that is well beyond 2 years behind in their learning rate. And that deficit has to be accommodated somewhere. And for any district, whether it's Vail or Tanque Verde or Flying Wells or wherever, Catalina Foothills, there are students that are going to need that remediation. And districts that are getting lower compensation, you know, deserve to get some additional money because those students, those families need that help as well.
All right, we're going to pause right here. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon. Dr. Robert Hendricks is with us. We're talking about the devastating impact. Really, there's this learning gap, and we're going to talk with Dr. Hendricks about that after the break, the learning gap that's resulted from the pandemic. And as he was just talking about, this inequity of funding, of lost revenue, and some of the, it's between the poorer and the wealthier districts. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. I'm so excited that Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, one of our great sponsors through the years, has the open sign back as New Mexico welcomes out-of-state visitors, and perfect time of year as we start to heat up. Things are relatively cool over in Silver City because of their elevation, 5,000 to 7,000 feet. Tom, I was going to quickly pull up while I'm talking the current temperatures over in Silver City, New Mexico, and my bet is it will be considerably cooler. There you go. 72 delightful degrees over in Silver City, New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive from the Tucson area, and there's so much to do when it's about 70 degrees. My goodness, who wouldn't want to go walking or hiking in the Gila National Wilderness? Go to southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find everything you need to know about your upcoming trip to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We resume our conversation with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks, 790-2040, if you would like to weigh in with any comments or concerns about education. One of the big problems, Dr. Hendricks, is what is going to happen now with the state of Arizona and the money that is normally doled out to education and to districts. This is pretty much up in the air right now, isn't it?
It is, and the governor had had indicated that he would provide full state aid to districts, you know, who were losing enrollment. But that was a 2020 promise. We're now in 2021. And so I think districts, as we turn the corner into a new year, are wondering, is he going to renege on that promise? Is he going to continue to provide funding during a time that was really unpredictable? Districts had planned their budgets and had operationally decided on what they were going to do based on that full funding formula. And obviously this has an impact on the number of teachers that are hired, number of teachers that can retain their jobs, you know, what the staffing formulas are going to be. And then the other thing is, will those students that we talked about who have left the public school system, are they going to come back? Beyond those students that are kindergarten who may be enrolling for the first time, but will the first graders, will the fifth graders, will the eighth graders come back? And I think a lot of them will. And here's the reason why. I think there are a lot of services that are provided in the public school system that, because of the nature of charters, they can't provide, such as psychological services or health services. And then the co-curricular activities in music, physical education, and art.
You think the offerings will be more attractive than for them?
I think they will. And I think, I think some parents made the decision because of convenience. Mm-hmm. Some will find they really like the new environment better, mm-hmm. and those youngsters will stay. But I think a lot of them will want to come back to their neighborhood school, and they'll want to have those services that maybe a district, a charter school can't provide.
So these parents were looking, many of them looking at a stop gap for the COVID situation, and now they're ready to go back to the neighborhood school.
I do, and I think also one population that really is served well in the public schools are the special needs students. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because there are many, many services that are provided, you know, through the funding formula that maybe other kinds of schools can't provide. So I'm hoping that the fall is a brighter light for public schools that have lost this enrollment. But also, I also hope that the governor, you know, in his work with the legislature, will understand that you've got to keep that general formula going until a time when things level out.
How about these students that just disappeared off the radar screen? This is really concerning. These people, you know, you would think it would that high school dropouts were always a problem anyway, but now there's kids that just have disappeared.
You know, we don't have a system, you would think, in this high-tech environment,
right,
to really track those students. And it's been a perennial problem. Absenteeism, truancy, but truancy beyond the fact of just not registering, just not showing up. And if you see students on the street, and I've had students come in to the food bank, and I always say to the mm-hmm. I always say to the student, "Where do you go to school?" Mm-hmm. And they kind of look at me, and sometimes I don't get a response at all. But if you see a student out on the street, they could be homeschooled. They could be in a charter school. They could be on a different vacation schedule. Mm-hmm. You really don't know. You can't make any assumptions because there's whole different menus of schooling. And so there could be students that are just not enrolled, that are kind of falling between the gaps. And parents have to take responsibility for that.
And then
we don't have truant officers.
No, we don't.
We don't have a system to require parents to do that unless they go through child protection. If they're reported, then they make them go to school. But there's a lot of kids running around, and hopefully they'll come back.
The learning gap, I know TUSD is going to be offering an encouraging summer programs. I wonder if most of the districts will try that.
I think they will.
To try to make up some of this learning problem.
The good news is that this windfall of money is earmarked. The districts have to require, for audited reasons, that they're using this money for the specific purposes to help students, whether it's the physical environment or the learning environment. They're all connected. But summer school, I think, is a wave of the future. There's no question that the students are behind with deficits. Time is the only thing that they can have on their side. You've got to spend time and practice, and that needs teacher support, it needs parent support, but you can't do it in 9 months, and you can't do it on a short school day. It's going to take afternoons, evenings, weekends, summers. Maybe we need to look at more of an international system where the school day and the school year is longer. That's going to have to be legislated. It's going to have to be funded. But we need more time with students to catch them up. Otherwise, this country is going to have a lot of problems.
And then kids that are going to college, what a strange year this is. You know, if they look for their scores in the COVID year, well, I guess the scores were kind of thrown out the window.
And standardized tests.
Yeah.
We're not certain how that's going to happen at this point.
If a student...
We do need some benchmarks, though. Mm-hmm. We can only guess the deficits. We really need to do some testing to find out, you know, how far students are behind and what we can do to address that issue. There are a lot of learning strategies that can be employed to remediate students, but it's going to take money and it's going to take personnel support to do that.
All right. Dr. Robert Hendricks, always a pleasure. Good to see you again in
studio.
Good
to be back, Bill.
All right. Coming up tomorrow, we will have Fletcher McCusker, Rio Nuevo chair with us. Believe it or not, things are actually looking pretty good downtown. A lot of projects were just starting when COVID hit, and they were actually continuing on to completion. So things not as bad as you might imagine in downtown Tucson. We'll get an update from Fletcher with our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. That's Buckmaster at 12:04 on Friday. All right, coming up next, we've got Dave Ramsey, his very popular show from Ramsey Solutions, talking about money. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of my fine engineer producer, Tom Fairbanks, and Dr. Robert Hendricks. We hope you have a great afternoon.